Welcome to another wonderful, awesome episode of the Dead Politics Podcast. This is episode number 7, I think. Is that right, guys?
I think so, yes.
Okay, yes. My name is Matt. I am the host of the show, and with me today, as usual, we have DJ in Greeley, Colorado.
Hidey-ho, neighbor.
And then back after a one-week absence is our wonderful right-leaning friend, Jeff.
Yes, I am here. And as usual, every time, I don't know why, every time I sign on to this voice over IP stuff from my house, I get this tech problem where it's intermittent static and I cut out. So that's probably going to happen tonight. I apologize.
Yeah, you haven't done it yet so far. So
actually, the cast is sounding quite clean today, so yeah, I'm rather impressed.
Yes, and we should point out to the listeners that DJ has rigged up some crazy computer thing through Skype where now we can have actual sound effects during the Dead Politics podcast. So, DJ, why don't you play a random sound effect? Actually, I think that was DJ actually got that. That was the sound of Barack Obama when he heard that Ted Kennedy was endorsing him. So, congratulations. But yes, let's get into this. We're going to have a big show this week. It seems like, you know, the political world has exploded over the past 4 days, and it's really exciting.
Man. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Exciting. Yeah, it's super exciting for political junkies like ourselves. So we're going to have tons of stuff to talk about. Of course, South Carolina, Florida results, Ted and Caroline Kennedy endorsing Obama, John Edwards dropped out of the race today, so did Giuliani, all kinds of crazy stuff we're going to talk about. But first, let's get to the icebreaker question. And since we're going to have so much political talk this evening, this is a non-political icebreaker question. And as everybody knows, this Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, and it's probably the biggest, television event of the year by far. Billions of people watch it across the world. And we have the New England Patriots sitting at 18-0 going for history to make it 19-0, win the Super Bowl, perfect season. And then you have the upstart New York Giants going up against them. So I'm going to ask you guys, I know DJ is not particularly a sports fan per se, but Jeff and I watch a little bit of football. I'll ask you first, Jeff, who do you want to win the Super Bowl this Friday, the Sunday, New England Patriots or New York Giants?
There's a lot of people out there hating on the Patriots, hoping, you know, schadenfreude, they want them to lose and ruin their perfect season. Even though I'm not a Patriots fan during the regular season, I want the Patriots to win. I think that'd be an amazing...
Yeah, that would be cool. How about you, DJ?
Yeah, don't know anything about football. Not going to watch it. I don't care. It's a waste of my time. I'm sad that all my friends have suddenly become football fans.
Oh, do you know? I mean, do you even like care about the history of it? Do you think that might be kind of cool?
Right. Like, do you understand why it's a big deal?
I'll probably go on YouTube and watch all the commercials.
Well, basically, it's a big deal because the New England Patriots could be the first team with a 19-0 perfect regular season in, like, I guess the modern football.
Right. If they win this, people are saying this, they will be almost by definition the greatest single season football team of all time.
Yeah. So it's a big deal.
Olympic team does it.
Okay, well, DJ obviously doesn't care. Yeah. I'm going to go for the New England Patriots just because I think it would be cool to see that kind of history made, you know, in my lifetime.
I agree.
I never expected a professional football team to go 19-0. I just think it would be kind of cool just for the history of it.
Yeah.
So two Patriots voters here, and apparently DJ just doesn't care. He's abstaining, apparently. So
exactly.
All right, let's get into it. Before we go into all the crazy stuff, news results of the past 4 days, I do have a few pieces of interesting news that have sort of broke across the wire today. People are talking about, we're going to talk about the Kennedy endorsement. I found this incredibly interesting. A Rasmussen poll came out today that showed Barack Obama now within 6% of Hillary Clinton in Massachusetts. Now, I guess to put this in perspective, last week he was 37 points behind. The Kennedys have sway in Massachusetts, so I thought that was interesting. There's an internal poll going around as of today that's not affiliated with either Clinton or Obama or a Republican, and it's saying it's a California poll showing that Clinton's only up by 3% in California now. A Gallup poll just came out today that showed Obama's down only 6 points in the national lead now. So I thought that was very interesting. It seems like the polls are just going straight towards Obama, and I guess we can talk a little bit about why we think that is. But do you guys have any news as of today, Hike, now that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I've got a really interesting article here.
Okay.
The lovely people in Aurora, Colorado have come up with another ingenious Way to screw you. yesterday morning, they spent 4 hours going around two squads or over, I think, 36 police officers, wrote tickets to people for starting their vehicles and then going back in their house.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, the complaint is that this is leaving open crime of providing a crime of opportunity for car thieves. And so in order to protect the people from car thieves, they are fining and making illegal the ability to go out and start your car in it unless you can take the keys out of the ignition while the car is running.
Like even on your own private property?
Yes, even on your own private property.
Oh,
and
that's...
if you lock the doors on your car, if the keys are still in the ignition, the fine is between $75 and $150.
That is ridiculous. You know what? Yeah. Just coincidentally, my mechanic – I had a problem with my car, and my mechanic told me just today that I need – because of my car and a certain problem that its make tends to have with a cam gasket or something like that, a cam seal, I am supposed to let it run for quite a while and make sure that it's good and warm before I drive it. So what would I do if, you know, this is what it takes to keep my car running well?
Pay the $75 fine and violate the law. I mean, when is it really going to stop? Are they going to start giving tickets for people not leaving their light on when they're not home, or
you know,
if someone breaks into their house, you know? Or
what? Well, I guess the fundamental thing that I want to ask about this is, why are there police officers driving around looking to see if cars are running instead of actually going out and finding criminals?
Well, and that was my thing.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
You got 36 police officers out on the street giving tickets to people who warm their car up before they go to work when they could be, maybe fighting drug dealers or getting jaywalkers off the street. I mean, at least something legitimate.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. I agree with that.
I mean, what are they going to do next? You know, if a woman wears a skirt and she's molested by some psycho, are they going to fine her for wearing too scantily clad clothing? Are they going to get you for locking your doors but not using adequate locks when your house is broken into? I mean, basically it's saying, well, anytime you do something that may allow a criminal to get the best of you, you're in violation and you should get fined for it.
Yeah, I don't like that, Tida, that line of thought.
That's kind of silly.
Going into like a nanny state thing that's just incredibly crazy.
Well, I got a piece of news here. DJ, you are in Colorado, so maybe you have some type of perspective on the storm that was brewing today in Colorado, which was Barack Obama was in Denver, and apparently he had like 20,000 people show up at a rally for him there and whatnot. Do you have any perspective? Like, Colorado is like a big deal in Colorado because national media is making a huge thing out of it.
No, not really. You know, I mean, there was talk of it in the news a little bit, and the interstate was pretty clean when I was leaving Denver this afternoon because of the stinking ongoing event. But I don't.
See, I was hoping you might have went there and, like, you know, could report back to us something.
No, I was in class all day today.
Oh.
I got my CDL license today for no apparent reason.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so now I have a learner's permit to drive hazardous
semi-trucks.
State lines in large vehicles.
Interesting. Okay, Jeff, do you have any news items that you want to throw out here before we get into the discussion of all the crazy stuff that happened this week?
I don't think so. I think any news I have would be tied into the primaries and the dropouts and endorsements and all of that stuff. So,
okie doke.
One other note, guys. You know what the slogan is for that police campaign? Don't help a good boy go bad.
You're shitting me.
Nope, that's the slogan.
And then that's ridiculous.
Move your keys from your car or you'll be fine.
I just put cookie all over my computer.
That is just ridiculous. But
when I read that, man, I was just laughing my ass off. I couldn't believe that they would come up with a slogan and an ad campaign to like make that sound like a good idea.
Well, is there like a big uproar about this, or people just going?
Oh man, people are pissed. There's been committee meetings, and I mean it's all over the news. You can't walk anywhere without hearing somebody screaming about this in Colorado right now. Huh. There's outrage galore. But they're still going to keep doing it. No one's decided to repeal it. In fact, they're talking about instituting it in the entire state of Colorado due to the rampant car thefts of Hondas and other foreign vehicles.
Huh. Wow. Interesting. Okay. That's I think we all agree that's really stupid.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
So let's get into the start of our just you know, tons and tons of great, crazy political news that happened over the past few days. First was the South Carolina results. We talked a little bit about this on the last Dead Politics podcast, and we gave our predictions and whatnot, and Obama just absolutely destroyed Hillary Clinton in South Carolina. Mostly on the strength of after the African-American vote, they came out in droves, as well as young people. Young whites under 30 specifically voted for him in crazy numbers. I think that it was 55-27 was the final tally on that percentage-wise.
Yeah, that's what I have with Edwards had 18.
Okay, and that's incredible. I mean, I figured that Obama was going to win South Carolina. Most people, you know, that was the common assumption they would win, but I don't think anybody thought he would win by this much.
That's twice as much as what Hillary got.
Yeah, he got Barack Obama got more votes himself than John Kerry, John Edwards, and everybody did in the 2004 primary itself. The turnout was humongous. There was over 500,000 Democrats came out to vote in this. I mean, the turnout is amazing and so far in the Democratic primaries, which gives me great optimism for the fall. But what do you guys think of this? Do you think this had a definite was South Carolina a reaction to Bill Clinton and the Clinton campaigns, you know, the whole race issue? Do you think that was why they came out in droves and voted for Obama? What do you think was reason for Obama's victory by that much, Jeff?
I think that has to be a factor, that just Bill Clinton going over the top with some of the things he was saying, and he continued to say them after the win in South Carolina, for that matter. But, I mean, I'm not even an Obama supporter. I'm not even a fan of the Democrat side of the political spectrum, and I was, like, angry about this, and I wanted to get behind Obama because of these just sleazeball tactics that the Clintons were using. So I think that has to be a factor.
Yeah, and if
even a guy like me who doesn't look Yeah, I think so.
And what you're referring to after the win was a reporter asked Bill Clinton, what does it mean about Barack Obama that it takes the both of you to campaign against him? And basically 2-on-1 tag team. And then Bill Clinton was like, well, Jesse Jackson won in 84 and 88.
Yes.
Matter.
Did anyone hear that and not think, oh, my God?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. But, DJ, what's your slant on South Carolina and Obama's just humongous victory over Hillary?
I think it was definitely a stomping. I mean, she didn't even do anything there. The only demographic she picked up, I believe, was whites over 45, and that was only don't quote me on this. I think it was 15%. So that's horrible. At first, you thought she was going to steamroll through it, but after that happened, she's down in the pits now, fighting. And with Kennedy endorsing Obama, that's just another slap in her face.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to Kennedy. But don't get ahead of ourselves here.
Oh, sorry. I think in general, it wasn't just the black demographic. In general, he got a large swath of the voters. I mean, sure, there was a larger percent of African American, but that's just the demographic in that state.
Right, right. It wasn't the prediction was that blacks were going to, you know, swing the state for him. But then I guess when you got into the internals of the exit polling, it turned out that actually many white people indeed voted for Obama in South Carolina.
Well,
Matt brought up the number of turnout. The white voters that voted for Obama was equal to some of the people that had actually won in previous years running South Carolina.
Yeah, what ended up happening, the other way you can look at this, and this is what pundits on the media have been doing all week long, is like, well, if you look at the exit polling and the internal data of who actually voted, John Edwards got 40% of the white vote, Hillary Clinton got like, I don't know, 29 or 30%, and then Barack Obama got 24%, something like that. So basically got one out of every four whites Barack Obama did. That's a lot better than what was anticipated, which was like 10%. People were worried about that. But so you got more whites than people anticipated, but it was still well below what John Edwards and Hillary Clinton got. And
now,
so
the question that I have now is, where are John's candidates going to go? You know, he was mainly supported by older males in their, like, 30s to 50s, I believe.
Yeah, well, we're gonna talk about that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of this, too.
Okay, so do you guys have any final comments about Obama crushing Hillary? Do you think that is indicative of what's going to happen coming up here in Super Tuesday, or do you think it's just an isolated South Carolina thing and that Hillary's still got the advantage right now?
I don't know. I think anything can happen on Tuesday. I mean, you have South Carolina and you have Florida, and they're two different things. So it's like I hesitate to say that Obama's going to repeat that kind of success all the way across Super Tuesday.
Okay, so let's move over to Florida then. Florida was the big primary. I believe it was the first time it was a Republican only primary, if I'm correct. Yeah, independents and Democrats could not vote in this. And this was a sort of a big debate between us on Jeff's message board on his website, and McCain beat Romney by what, 5 or 6%?
Yep, 5 points.
Now, just to point out on that, I believe the exit polls that I read were 20% of the people that voted for McCain actually were independents that had switched to Republican to vote, and so. That almost seems to me like a swing Democrat movement.
See, I don't.
That's my conspiracy
that.
Of the. That's my conspiracy theory of the week is that all the Democrats that were like hiding in the wings were like, "Ooh, we better switch over to Republicans so we can vote in this other douchebag that we like."
Well, I completely disagree with that because Democrats don't want to face John McCain in a general election, so it's against their own interest to vote for him. But let's have Jeff. You talk a little bit about Florida and your thoughts and feelings because you are the Republican here on this cast. So what are your thoughts and feelings about Florida?
I think McCain we didn't talk about the Republicans in South Carolina, but McCain won in South Carolina by a few points over Mike Huckabee with Thompson and Romney in sort of distant third and fourth place. And Thompson,
nope,
in fact, even dropped out after that. So I think McCain was riding that South Carolina success into Florida. He did this really I call it a dirty trick of putting out this series of ads about Romney favoring a timetable for withdrawal in Iraq, that Romney had it was a misrepresentation of his position and he had zero time to respond to it going into the voting. So I think I think there's a ton that had an impact. I think there's a ton of old people in Florida who
a lot of veterans in Florida too.
A lot of old people and a lot of veterans who both like McCain because he's a military guy. And, you know, everybody. It's anytime you talk about John McCain, it's like you almost feel compelled to say, "I respect his service. I respect what he went through in Vietnam." So, I mean, that carries a lot of weight. Even I, who don't like him at all, will say. That carries a lot of weight. So I think veterans came out for him, and I think old people came out for him. And, you know, independents, moderates, they came out for him because he's their guy. He's the maverick firebrand independent. So I think that's why he won in Florida.
Okay. Did the Florida results piss you off, Jeff?
I don't like that tactic he used going into the voting. I don't appreciate the way
he's... You could tell in the debate tonight that Romney was pissed off about him doing
that. I think
that.
It was a dirty trick, especially considering McCain's McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform bill, which prevents people from addressing those sorts of things, but he as a candidate can go and do it. So I think it's sleazy, and I'm to the extent that I get angry about this sort of thing, I would say that I'm angry about the outcome of Florida.
Okay, and DJ, comments about Florida.
Again, I mentioned my conspiracy theory, but the other thing you got to look at too is a lot of the people that are in Florida are migration people from other states. You've got a lot of people that used to be New Yorkers and California people that moved to Florida. I think the term was Clintonites or something like that, and so they're really
a lot of transplanted New Yorkers.
Yeah, and so. That group votes completely different than the core locals of Florida, you know. So it's really changed the whole demographic in Florida. Used to be more of a Republican state. Now it's turned into like a free for all brawl because of so many transplants moving into the state, you know. Well, and they're older too, so they have. I hate to say it, but older people vote. Younger people fuck off. So
I agree with that.
Well, here's what's interesting, because I don't mean to gloat here, and I'm not trying to gloat, but I basically predicted that McCain was going to win by like 5 points in Florida. I saw this coming the entire time. I don't understand how people didn't see this coming, where people were thinking that Romney was going to somehow beat Florida or beat McCain in Florida. First of all, Florida's got the huge military vote. They got the older voters. But one of the biggest demographics that Florida has right now is the Hispanic population. And Republican conservative Hispanics love McCain for the immigration bill. And so they're going to vote McCain. And Romney, you know, he's got to go with that, you know, conservative point of view, the talk radio point of view, or, you know, for that, you know, They don't like immigration. They don't like illegal immigrants. And for better or worse, Hispanic people don't like politicians that say that kind of thing. And it seemed to me blatantly obvious that there was no way McCain could lose, on top of the fact that he was getting endorsements from every major political figure in Florida. The governor endorsed him. I think both senators endorsed him. So I think one senator. I think it's sort of, I don't know. What made you guys think Romney could win? I'll ask you, Jeff, since you.
I was going off my own idea that I believe a guy who comes out and talks about at least a few conservative ideas will win. But and this is very cynical of me, but it's like I felt like I was giving the voters
way too much credit.
I think McCain is smoking mirrors, and people bought into it when they shouldn't have. So I'm disillusioned. I used to give the American voter more credit than I do now.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that Matt mentioned the Hispanic vote. There's several Hispanic organizations, including La Raza, that are going after Romney pretty hard and heavy. They have a campaign. They call it "We Can Stop the Hate," and it's 300 groups of Hispanic and illegal immigrant groups that are. Basically saying that all the rhetoric about illegal immigration is hurting racial ties and destroying our culture, and they're really pinning that down on him pretty hard, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly why I said that Hillary Clinton was going to win Nevada by like 5 points, because she's got the support of the Hispanic vote, and the Hispanic vote's a big factor in Nevada. And you got to look at the Hispanic vote when you get close in these close elections. You got to go with where the candidate, you know, in the states with large Hispanic populations, Southwest, Florida, whatnot. You've got to look at the candidates that are pro immigration. Those are the candidates that are going to win. I guarantee you, they are going to win.
The problem is though, is that the demographic of Hispanic voters is actually. Not the third and fourth generation Hispanics, but the first generation Hispanics. The polls show that the second and on up generations of Hispanics that have moved to the country don't really participate in politics nearly as much as the first generation, the people that are just coming in. And so those guys have a lot closer ties to the illegal immigration ordeal, I suppose, than the third generation. They're already settled in and happy.
And this is a perfect segue to our next topic, because this deals directly with the Democratic race, and that is, of course, the much-celebrated, much-hyped endorsement of the Kennedys, Ted Kennedy, Caroline Kennedy, Patrick Kennedy. They came out on Monday. They endorsed Barack Obama. This is viewed as pretty much the Kennedys passing the torch, so to speak, to the new generation of inspirational leaders in the Democratic Party. What's interesting, this is interesting on many, many levels. The Kennedys and the Clintons go back quite a ways. They're friends with each other. They go on vacations together. Ted Kennedy's been a staunch supporter of Hillary Clinton in the past, and they've worked together in the Senate. And what ended up happening is Bill Clinton, supposedly, I mean, this is all just, I mean, I don't know exactly what the conversation was between Ted Kennedy and Bill Clinton, but apparently they had a phone conversation, and Ted Kennedy, according to reports, was absolutely pissed off that Bill Clinton was bringing up all this racist talk and trying to divide the party, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And he basically got so pissed off that he's like, you know what? You know, I'm not going to stand behind this kind of division within the Democratic Party itself. I'm going to endorse Barack Obama. And that is a huge endorsement, in my mind, for Barack Obama. Basically, what Ted Kennedy is going to be doing is he is going to the Southwest and the Northeast in Massachusetts and whatnot. He's already, like I mentioned earlier, seems to already be helping out Massachusetts, amazingly. But the Kennedys, the Hispanic population loves the Kennedys. I think this goes all the way back to, like, Bobby Kennedy standing up with Cesar Chavez and workers' rights and things like that. So the Kennedy family, the Kennedy name, brings a lot of weight within the Hispanic community as well. I saw one report. A reporter asked this Hispanic person about, you know, Kennedy's endorsing Obama, and they said that, you know, there's basically two pictures on the wall of every Hispanic, you know, those third, fourth generation Hispanic people, and that is, like, the Pope and John F. Kennedy. Their picture was on the wall. I mean, the Hispanics revere the Kennedys. And so Ted Kennedy is going down there, and he's going to California and whatnot. He's speaking directly to the Hispanic population, and that's he's trying to eat away at Clinton's, I guess, monopoly on the Hispanic vote right now. So I'll ask you, Jeff, what do you make of this? I know you're, you know, looking as a Republican, you're not a huge fan of the Kennedys. You probably don't understand the importance of it to Democrats. But just looking from the outside in, what do you think this does for Obama? Do you think this is a huge boon for him? Do you think it's, you know, just overplayed? It's not that big in the grand scheme of things. How do you think this endorsement affects him?
I think inside the Democratic side, inside the Democratic Party, it's got to be a huge thing. I think it's, as a total side note that I won't waste time on, I think it's interesting how, like, a person like Ted Kennedy inside the Democratic Party, he's a big name and a guy that's important and that people respect and admire. Outside, you know, we looking at him from the Republican Party, we never talk about Ted Kennedy without making fun of him being like a drunkard who crashed his car and killed that chick in the river. I mean, it's interesting, and I'm sure you guys say the same things. I've seen the things people like President Bush. So I think it's interesting how we from the other party's point of view, we don't respect these people at all. But I understand that inside the Democratic Party, it's a huge thing that – and like you said, Kennedy being the last surviving, you know, great Kennedy after John and Bobby, I mean, they represent something important to all of America. And so him throwing his support behind Obama is a huge thing. I agree.
Good. DJ, what are your opinions on the Kennedys endorsing Obama?
I kind of go in line with Jeff there. I don't think much of Kennedy myself, and I kind of think he's funny, and he's funny looking, but I don't really...
Oh, that's a low blow. Come on.
I mean, politically, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff the guy does, and I think some of the times I've heard him speak, I actually laughed out loud. It was so ridiculous, whatever he was saying.
Yeah, Ted Kennedy's gotten that almost little crazy uncle thing going
there. Yeah, it's like a senile thing that kicks in there. Every once in a while, he just goes off on a subject that has nothing to do with anything and rants. But then you see on the other side, Hillary's desperate to say, well, the Kennedys endorse me too. And so she's picking like a third cousin on the left and saying, well, they wrote a good letter about me one time, and that almost seems desperation. So if she's so desperate to have any kind of approval that's associated with him whatsoever, that really says a lot for Kennedy's endorsement.
Well, there's multiple things going on here why the Kennedy endorsement is so damn important to Democrats. First of all is the Kennedy name. Regardless of what you think about Kennedy's politics or whatnot, the Kennedy name is basically royalty in this country in terms of politics. I mean, the Kennedy name crosses political parties and ideologies. Most people hear Kennedy and they think, you know, they got this glamorous ideal vision, whether it's correct or not, or if it should be correct or not. They have this glamorous ideal of the 1960s and how, you know, America was this
in the parking lot or something.
Yeah, America was this great place, and you know, John F. Kennedy was. I mean, you do polls on the greatest presidents, and John F. Kennedy's always right up there. So it's just there's just this name recognition, the Kennedys. I mean, it's amazing to Democrats for somebody like Barack Obama to get this. The other reason is that Ted Kennedy is basically one or two or three of the top names that Obama could ever get.
Yeah.
Ted Kennedy is he basically carries so much weight in Washington amongst the establishment. This is an important event, I think, in political history because, like, you know, they make up this is the passing of the torch from the Kennedys to Obama. But Ted Kennedy brings a lot of weight, no pun intended. basically, he is saying, as you know, they call him the liberal lion. He's the patriarch of the party. Everybody respects him within the Democratic establishment. And he's basically saying, you know, this is the guy. It's not the Clintons. The Clintons, because there's apparently a lot of infighting going on within the party. A lot of the party establishment doesn't like the Clintons. They don't like the way the Clintons feel like they're entitled to basically run the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And so, and Ted Kennedy, he makes people listen, and he acts as a shield for Barack Obama. The Clintons cannot, absolutely cannot criticize Barack Obama on essentially anything anymore because they don't want to piss off Ted Kennedy in public at all. Because Ted Kennedy, he carries clout within the establishment, and all those superdelegates that they're all fighting for, now they have an excuse if they want to vote for or go with Barack Obama. Like, well, Ted Kennedy's doing it. You know, before if there wasn't a name like that attached to Barack Obama, people might be hesitant to go vote for him if you're in the establishment. But now that you can stand behind Ted Kennedy, the biggest name in politics, you're okay.
I think a lot of people are especially a lot of the contributors are still kind of waiting for Super Tuesday for the dust to settle before they really throw their money in with one or any other candidate.
Oh, definitely.
They want to be on the winning team, you know. They don't want to start donating to somebody that's going to lose. And I think it's going to take a little while after Super Tuesday before they start picking up all the leftovers from everybody that's, you know, quit the race for.
I agree with you in that respect, but don't forget that if this comes down to a brokered convention with the Democrats where neither Clinton nor Obama has enough delegates to actually be the nominee, it's going to come down to the superdelegates. That's where Ted Kennedy becomes important, because Ted Kennedy, he can sway people. You know, Ted Kennedy favors. And
what
Ted
are the
Kennedy.
super delegates? So what exactly is that?
A superdelegate is a – well, Matt, maybe you want to explain. A superdelegate is a person who – like when they go into a primary and vote for, you know, I want Barack Obama to be the candidate, then a certain number of delegates from that state's Democratic Party go to the convention and say, okay, we want Barack Obama to be our – a superdelegate are these individuals in the party structure. They have different positions in different states, but they're not
elected officials, like senators and legislatures and people in the legislature and whatnot, and they get a vote.
Yeah, they're not bound by the results of the state's citizens voting. So if, say, Nebraska went for Hillary Clinton, superdelegate could say, well, no, I'm from Nebraska and I'm an official, but I want Obama.
Yeah, so Ben Nelson is a superdelegate from Nebraska who's going for Barack Obama. So even
if Nebraska
votes for Hillary Clinton, Ben Nelson can still put a vote in the delegate convention towards Barack Obama.
Ben Nelson, that's a tool. I got nothing good to say about that douchebag.
Okay, so what am I trying to say here? Ted Kennedy's endorsement is humongous. Already, it looks like it's having some sort of effect. Now, I don't whether it can be carried all the way through Super Tuesday is another matter. But like I said before, the poll that's showing Obama down 37 points last week, only down 6 points in Massachusetts now. The polls in California that are showing him coming up on Clinton. Kennedy holds a lot of sway, and a lot of people respect him. Even maybe they don't know exactly about his politics and every bill he's introduced, they respect the name Kennedy. And an interesting thing I saw on MSNBC, they were talking about this. And if you notice the rhetoric of both of the candidates now, they're only talking about it's about delegates. It's not about who wins the states. It's about who gets the most delegates. And that's very important, because the way the Democratic Party delegate system is structured this time is there's no states that are winner-take-all, unlike Republicans where, you know, Romney wins Florida or McCain wins Florida and he gets all the delegates, Romney gets none, and it puts Romney at a disadvantage. Every one of the Democratic primaries and caucuses are being sort of weighted.
Right.
So,
right.
For example, what Ted Kennedy's goal is to do is right now – let's say for example there's a congressional district that awards 4 delegates to the national convention. Okay, so let's say that Hillary Clinton leads 61% to Barack Obama's 39% in this congressional district. In that scenario, Hillary Clinton would get 3 delegates to Obama's 1 when the vote came in. Now, what Ted Kennedy wants to do is he wants to go to these congressional districts and he wants to convince 2% of Hillary's vote to go with Obama.
Right.
So it would be, say, 59% Hillary, 41% Obama. The way they've done the congressional delegate system is that would mean Obama gets 2 and Hillary gets 2, even though Hillary got most of the vote in that district. And so what this is ending up happening to be is Obama wants to stay within striking distance of Hillary. He wants to be at least, you know, break even, so to speak, with her on Super Tuesday, because he's not going to win all these states. There's just not enough time for him to win. But he wants to win enough delegates to be within 100, 150 of her, and then, you know, sway the superdelegates, win a bunch of states after Super Tuesday, get the momentum, and so that he becomes a nominee.
That's really tricky politics right there. I think – I don't know. That seems kind of underhanded.
It's not underhanded.
It's not underhanded. It's strategic. It's a game, I mean, to a certain degree. It's a competition.
When elections turn into this, like, strategic planning and stabbing people and really coming up with power moves, you know, I think it really ought to just be this number of people voted for this guy and this number of people voted for that guy, and okay, well, he's our candidate because more people voted for him, you know? That seems like the most simple and...
Well, that's what it all boils down to, but it's the game of trying to convince
Once you start rolling into super delegates, you're almost getting into the Electoral College crap where the state has more people than another state, their weight can be different than the other state due to the number of however many delegates or whatever.
The super delegate thing is what's tricky about the Democratic Party, because I do not believe that Republicans have super delegates. I don't know the exact history of it, but it had to do something with like 1972, where the Democratic voters elected somebody as their nominee that was like a super ultra liberal or something like that, like no shot at winning the general election. Yeah, McGovern, I think it was. The Democratic Party elected them, and so the Democratic, party itself decided, well, we need a fail-safe in case our voters elect someone stupid, and so we're going to give ourselves a vote so that if they do make a stupid mistake, we can offset that. But it's never come down to that. This is the first year it's ever been where the superdelegates actually have, you know, big sway in the vote.
But see, there shouldn't be an out like that where they say, okay, well, you guys pick what you want. Well, you know, we weren't happy with what you picked, so we're going to do something else anyway. Thanks for your suggestion. That seems...
Yeah. And so there's a lot of talk about this, and it's interesting what the Democrats are going to do in the future about this or what, because this is, I mean, they've never had to confront this before. This is something that happened 30 years ago by the Democrats in power back then, and, you know, no one's really thought about it because there's always been a Democratic nominee early on in the race, and it's been, you know, the superdelegates
sort of
just go with them.
That hit with Bush, you know, he won with a minority vote. Do you want people to start being picked from parties that are not the majority's choice? I mean, what point is the party if they're not picking the majority of whatever their fellowship decides on?
It's definitely a relevant question to ask, but unfortunately we don't have time to get into that right now because we've got lots more stuff to talk about. Next up, we've got let's start with the Republicans. We got big news. Rudy Giuliani drops out of the race after finishing third in Florida. I guess I'll ask you, Jeff, what the hell happened?
Well, Rudy, I think I never had anything really against Giuliani. I could have voted for him as the party's nominee in the general much more readily than I would have voted for. But Giuliani, he had this idea that he was going to hold back and, you know, skip on Iowa and skip on New Hampshire and skip on Michigan and skip on South Carolina and skip all these earliest primary and caucus states. And somehow think that after waiting all that time and letting other people build momentum and gather support, that he was going to win in Florida and win in Super Tuesday. That was just I don't know why they thought that made sense, but that was his strategy. I guess he thought, I'm this New York guy and the people in Iowa aren't going to ever go for me, so I'm not even going to waste my time. But it turned out to just be the world's dumbest idea, and he had no momentum after allowing guys like Huckabee and Romney and McCain to gather support and gather delegates. I like Giuliani for what it's worth, but, you know, it was a stupid strategy, and he's done now.
Interesting thing about Rudy Giuliani is that he had a $50 million war chest. He was a national front runner for a year before the primary started. He blew through all that money. It got him a grand total of one delegate before he dropped out. But, DJ, what are your thoughts on Rudy Giuliani? And if I don't answer, it's because I'm grabbing some milk right now to eat some more cookies. So,
I think it was kind of a joke. I don't think anybody in their right mind should ever run a campaign in that manner. I mean, you don't start by saying, well, we're going to pick one in the middle and we'll go for that. And if we win it, then we're going to keep going from there. No, you got to start at the beginning. And there was a great thing on the news the other day where they were reading a motivational book written by Giuliani. And he's talking about how you got to start from the beginning and really attack, and you should never give up. And once you have a goal, you should keep on going with it, and no matter what the odds. And you should, and they were reading all these things out of his book, his motivational book, telling people how to succeed in life. And then they were pointing out facts of his campaign where he had just completely gone off topic from that and screwed himself. And so I don't know. I got a real good laugh when he got third in Florida after wasting all that money and trying really hard.
You can't run as a national candidate and ignore five or six states, and then you just hope that one win will lead you to the nomination. You can't.
And that was the thing too, is they said no Republican candidate has ever made it that didn't win in South Carolina. I think that was not the one. So he didn't even. I mean, I think Ron Paul beat him in South Carolina, and that
Ron
guy's
Paul
got no
beat him just about everywhere. Yeah, the thing about Giuliani is I don't think he really ever had a shot to win. He's not popular in Iowa. He's not even popular in New Hampshire. He's certainly not popular in any of these other states, and that was part of the reason I think he did this strategy, because he knew there was no way he could win any of these states. So what do? You got to balance it out. You got to pick your poison. You say, do I actively run in all these states I know I'm going to lose and have the national media just tear me to pieces because I keep losing and say, when is Rudy Giuliani going to get out of the race? When's he going to quit? He keeps coming in fourth place in each one of these states. Or do I hope for the best and put all my eggs in one basket in Florida and hope that I could somehow, these other people eat themselves alive and I can somehow come out? And I understand that sort of strategy if you know you can't win any of the early states.
It's
you
a roll
the negative.
Dice. But did you notice that he did endorse John McCain, so...
Yeah, and...
That's going to push a lot of the donations from Giuliani into John McCain camp, which is sad to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Giuliani was trying to... I appreciated that he was always being honest about, I'm for gun control, I'm for pro-choice and all this stuff. I appreciated that he was always totally upfront and made no apologies for that. But I was hoping that, aside from those things, he was trying to present himself as somewhat of a conservative. But endorsing John McCain shows him to be, not a conservative. So, or not concerned of the conservative movement. Yeah. So Giuliani can go bang a mistress for all I care.
Okay. Well, let's talk about John Edwards, because this was – the big news of this morning. I woke up and turned on the news, and all of a sudden it's like John Edwards is dropping out of the race, which was
and we're all like, finally.
Yeah, just sigh and say thank you. You should have done that three states ago, you retard.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because there was a lot of talk that he was just going to go through Super Tuesday to get as many delegates as he could, and then he was going to play kingmaker at the convention and basically decide, who those delegates are going to go to.
And did you notice that he didn't endorse either candidate too? So that kind of puts him in the spot to possibly pull a vice presidency out
of
his hat.
That keeps him, in the news cycle. It keeps people caring about John Edwards.
Yeah. So I guess this is John Edwards finally drops out of the race. We all knew this was going to happen. Every Democrat in the world, except for the crazy liberal blogosphere, knew that John Edwards had no shot at winning the nomination a year ago. This wasn't a big surprise to anybody. And so he finally drops out of the race, and now it is down to Obama versus Clinton. Right in time for tomorrow night, which tomorrow night is going to be, it's going to be must-see television. It's Obama versus Hillary in a debate on their own, just right there against each other. And these people, you can tell these two hate each other.
Yeah,
they don't like each other at all. Obama is very angry about all that race crap that the Clintons brought up and, distorting his record and whatnot. They just do not like each other. So let's talk about John Edwards. He's dropped out, has not endorsed anybody yet. There's lots of talk that he will endorse somebody after the debate. At some point in time, or possibly even before the debate. Who do you think Edwards helps? Do you think getting out of the race helps Hillary, or do you think it helps Obama, and who do you think his voters are going to go through? He's got a solid 15% everywhere
he
goes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Who do you think that helps?
I think I think it definitely is going to help Obama. I don't think a lot of Edwards supporters are really going to go after Clinton. Not that their politics are too far off from each other, but as I was saying before, the demographic for John Edwards was medium to older age males. And I don't see a lot of
white men.
Yeah, white males. And, white's a key word there, but also males is a key word too. And from the people I've talked to in the state of Colorado and in other areas, the guys don't really have a good word to say about Clinton. They're worried. I mean, they see the vindictive bitch coming out every time she gets on stage.
They call it the gender gap. Women will vote for Hillary. Men will vote for the male candidate. That's just the stereotypical thing.
And maybe Hillary got all those votes from all the women that live in Florida. I don't. Isn't the ratio 3 to 1 there?
Well, yeah. Well, we should point out that Hillary Clinton won Florida and just in a completely underhanded move, flew down to Florida to have a big victory rally when, you know, I don't even want to get into why, but she was just...
Yeah, that's a whole separate issue that we could talk about at length where, you know, Florida like not sending delegates to the Democratic convention, and now the candidate who won is going to try and sort of backpedal on that and act like they're also also concerned that the people of Florida don't have a voice at the convention. You know, yeah, right.
She wasn't concerned about Michigan. She wasn't right up there in Detroit giving a big speech, but like, oh, they're disenfranchised up in Michigan. It was only after Obama won South Carolina.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Clintons are doing all kinds of underhanded moves. There's talk about how they're going to go to the courts to get those delegates seated. And it's bullshit, but that's for another day.
That's a whole separate thing.
Pretty bad when you got to go to court to win. I mean, that's going back to Bush in Florida.
Oh, I swear to God, if the Clintons go to court to try to win this,
Try to seat those delegates,
they're going to cut their own throat though if they do that. You know?
Oh yeah, there is going to be a mutiny within the Democratic Party, and if she somehow succeeds in going to court and you know winning on this quote unquote technicality, so to speak, then there's going to be a lot of pissed off people, and she is not going to fare well in the general election. She can't do that. That would be the stupidest thing ever. But we're talking about John Edwards. Interesting thing about John Edwards, and he has not endorsed anybody yet, and you know everybody's pontificating, like, well, who are his voters going to support?
Pontificating.
And who is he going to support? Now, here's the interesting thing about John Edwards. Part of his rationale for running is change. At one point during the debate, I think it was New Hampshire, he quote-unquote ganged up on Hillary Clinton by saying, Hillary Clinton's the status quo.
Yep.
Don't vote for her. She's the status quo. But John Edwards has also had this other theme going through attacking Barack Obama as not being quote-unquote tough enough on the lobbyists and whatnot. Essentially, what Obama wants to do is Obama is saying that it's going to be impossible to just divorce lobbyists from everything in politics from day one. You just can't do that. You gotta, you know, have a group at a table, let them have a seat, hear them out, and then deal with them then. Well, John Edwards is like, no, you just gotta basically say, fuck you guys.
Yeah, John Edwards very completely. Very conveniently doesn't count his huge trial warrior contributor constituency
exactly.
As lobbyist.
Yeah, so some of the lobbyists are good, you know, when they're contributing to him. But but anyway, so he has actually been, you know, pretty tough on Obama by saying, well, Obama just doesn't go far enough. He wants to negotiate with these people where I want to just punch him in the face. So it's interesting. I'm not sure exactly who Edwards would support because he's been very tough on Obama on that. But then again, he's saying that Hillary's the status quo in Washington. So I don't know. Who do you guys think he will support if he does any at all?
I think that if he was being sort of true to the idea that he's an agent for change, then he would have to endorse Obama and try to tell his supporters to support Obama because Obama is the outside guy, the agent for change compared to Hillary. I think that if he thought Hillary was a good choice, then he wouldn't have been running, right? I mean, that's how I see it.
Yeah, and what's also interesting about John Edwards is there's a lot of backroom politics going on right now. There was a rumor floated last week that Obama had said that John Edwards would put him as attorney general. If Obama was elected president, that we'd have, you know, basically a union guy as attorney general of the United States, which probably doesn't make a lot of conservatives very happy at all. There's even rumors going around right now that Hillary Clinton's offered him the vice presidency for his endorsement. So there's all kinds of weird stuff going on, you know, and that's probably why Edwards has not come out and endorsed anyone, because each candidate is trying to, you know, sweeten the deal as much as they possibly can because they think his vote is important.
Well,
particularly to Obama, because if Edwards' supporters flock to Obama instead of Hillary, that could technically push him over the edge.
The AFL-CIO,
if Edwards would endorse Obama and all of his supporters would go to Obama, that would really push him over the top and make him the front runner. I don't know if that's how it would play out, but that's my perception.
Yeah, because and Edwards has that union support too.
He has that good 15% that he brings in consistently. So I mean, that's a considerable number of people.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was about to mention is the AFL-CIO, which is one of the biggest it draws from almost every union in the United States for political change, quote unquote, to go with Matt's saying. It it really pushes the idea that if he could get into like a seat somewhere in the presidential house, I'm done. Never mind.
Okay,
I was going
so
somewhere,
John,
but I totally lost it.
Okay, so John Edwards has dropped out of the race, and this leads me into my next topic, where it's basically now we're down to the fun part of the campaign. This is what, you know, Democrats have been anticipating for, you know, a couple weeks now. It is Barack Obama versus Hillary Clinton, and personally, I think that tomorrow night's debate, I think it's on CNN, this is going to be the biggest event so far in this campaign. This is Obama's chance to finally stick it to Hillary, I think, in a one-on-one setting. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I bet millions of people watch this. Jeff, what do you think is going to, you know, happen? Are you going to watch this tomorrow? Do you think that this is Obama's one chance to really take her out? Or, you know, how do you view this debate, Obama versus Hillary one-on-one?
I think it's a very big deal, especially since it's now definitely between those two, with Edwards having just dropped out. I think Edwards' endorsement is a wild card that needs to be, you know, it's going to be looming on the horizon no matter what happens in the debate. But I think Obama has a chance to make a huge impact. I don't, as looking outside the Democratic Party, looking in, watching this debate, I don't understand how it's sort of like a cult of personality at this point. Who's going to win? Because basically they're going to be favoring the same policies. So I don't see, you know, no one's going to come out and say, I've got the better idea on healthcare, I've got the better idea on taxes, because they're going to be very, very similar. So it's going to be who presents themselves as more likable or who manages to really put a stake in the other one's heart based on, like, bringing up some sleazy donor. Or, I mean, is this the time that Hillary's going to whip out some secret Obama used to deal drugs in college sort of thing? I have no idea, but I think it's going to be nasty.
Well, what's interesting about this debate, and like you said, I agree with you on most of the issues. I mean, they do have finer point differences on a lot of policy issues, but just overall in general, both candidates are aiming for the same types of things.
Yeah.
Well, Hillary's really kept herself out of real specific stuff, though, whereas Obama's kind of gone pinpoint accuracy on a lot of his policies. She's really gone more in the broad, well, I'll fix stuff and I'll change stuff and we'll do something broad.
Well, what's interesting about that comment is that is how politics usually works. One of the biggest criticisms of Barack Obama is that he talks in detail and like this highfalutin language that just the average American was like would say, I just want you to give me the main point. You know, I don't want to have to think about all these different things you're trying to explain to me, basically like a philosophical level on how all this crap works.
I like to actually see that though. It's to see somebody say specifically, this is what I'm going to do, instead of saying, well, I'd like to fix things and I will change things. Good luck.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying earlier on the Republican side. I'm disappointed. I put more faith in people, but apparently people just want to hear, you know, very vague general things. I'm the agent for change. Well, I've been looking out for women and children for 35 years, and apparently that resonates.
On the 35 years of looking out for children and stuff, she spent 2 or 3 years doing protection law for children that were mistreated, and then, 17 years in a Dallas law firm supporting different lobbying companies and supporting large businesses. I think the claim to fame was a guy opened up a bag of Cheetos and there was a rat in it, and she defended the company against the guy that found the rat.
Yeah, but forget about that. That's we're talking about the debate in Obama versus Hillary. How this is being framed and how the perception is, Obama has taken this angle. Obama is saying, first of all, he's going on the big things. He's like, I was against the war in Iraq from day one and whatnot, all that stuff. But
I think that's an important distinction that he needs to try and exploit.
He is going through the angle. He's like, I am the future.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton is the past. He had a great line. There's a great line from 1992 where Bill Clinton was like, I'm making a bridge to the 21st century. And Obama today in Colorado said, I don't want to go on a bridge back to the 20th century. And he's basically saying, I am the new generation. He's taken the John F. Kennedy spiel, basically. He's saying, you know, the world has changed. I am the new face of the Democratic Party. I am the one with the ideas. I'm the one that can actually bring people together. Hillary Clinton's this polarizing figure. Nothing will get done if you elect her, and I am the only Democrat that could potentially do it, and I believe that I can do it.
Yeah, I think I think that is the great strength of Barack Obama, because like I said, I'm a guy who doesn't agree with anything he purports to think is a great idea for the country. But if he was president, at least I wouldn't be sitting there saying, man, that asshole is screwing up. At least I'd just be saying, man, that guy's screwing up. But at least he's a super nice dude. Whereas if it was Hillary, I'd be saying, oh, man, that bitch is just wrecking everything.
Well, so, the one thing is if you'd focus on the fact that he's new as well, I would like to see more of that where he jumps out and says, look, I haven't been doing this for nearly as long as these assholes over here, so give me a chance, I might screw up too, but at least I'm the new guy. I'm not the old guy that's always been screwing up.
Yeah, and he's making this a generational argument as well. He is saying this is the future versus the past. He's reaching out to every young Democrat that has only ever known Bill Clinton and/or George Bush. That's all we've ever known, and he is saying it is time to move this country away from the Bush and Clintons and into a completely new direction. And he's asking people to believe to join him and that he is the one that can do this.
I think that's a powerful idea. I think he needs to try and exploit that. I think there's something to that.
And it's going to be very interesting to see if he makes that distinction in clear terms tomorrow night in the debate. Because if he starts going, all intellectual speaking, using big words that the average American's probably have to go to a dictionary to figure out what they mean, he's not going to be able to do it. I think he needs to come out point blank and say, look, Hillary is the most Hillary is essentially the George Bush of the Democratic Party in the sense that she is completely polarizing. Every Republican in the country will be united to beat her in the election. Do you really want that, Democratic voters? And that's all he has to say. He needs to come out and just make those distinctions. It doesn't even need to be policy issues so much. He can come out and say, I was against the war in Iraq when she voted for it. And make that distinction. I think that's important. But he needs to come out and just say exactly what the Democratic voters all know, but they want him to say. And what is she going to say to that? What is Hillary Clinton's defense to Republicans hate you, you will get nothing done in Congress because they will block everything? What is she going to say to that? Is she going to say, no, Republicans love me?
I can
cross the aisle and get support for. She'll probably be like, "Well, I can deal with John McCain," and Barack Obama's gonna be like, "Well, you know what? We're trying to beat John McCain." And so all he has to do is say that, and sometimes it's frustrating as an Obama supporter. Just come out and say that. You should have been saying that the last month. But regardless, tomorrow is gonna be must see television. I cannot wait to watch Obama versus Hillary without John Edwards hogging 20 minutes of the discussion for ridiculous populist bullshit that never happened. So, anyway, moving on. Here's just a question I want to throw out here. Where the hell is Al Gore? This is interesting because Democrats, especially Obama supporters, believe that Al Gore, if he came out and said, I am backing Barack Obama, this would have just an amazing impact on the election and would probably lead to potentially a win in Super Tuesday for Obama. But what do you guys think Al Gore is doing? Why is he not endorsing somebody?
I think that maybe Al Gore has and pardon me, I apologize. My apologies to Al Gore, but maybe Al Gore feels that he is too dignified a person, having been a vice president for 8 years and a presidential candidate who fared very well, won the popular vote. Maybe he feels that. He respects the dignity of the office much more than a person like Bill Clinton, obviously, and he's not going to go get his hands dirty in a campaign. So maybe
But he voted for Howard Dean in 2004.
Okay.
Or
so
he endorsed
that's
Howard
true.
Dean.
Well, he has this direct relationship with the Clintons being their vice president, so maybe he's trying to keep some dignity about him. Me, as a person who sees him as a man without dignity, I don't understand why he doesn't throw his support behind someone and really, really flex his muscle, because I know the liberals respect him and would follow would give credence to what he says. I don't understand why he doesn't really stick it to the Clintons and endorse Obama.
We're talking about the guy that beat out a lady that saved like 37 children from the death camps for the Nobel Peace Prize. So he's really got a high burden to bear. You know, he's really got a lot of weight on those shoulders.
Right, right. That's the other thing. On one hand, I could believe that maybe he's, you know, trying to give some dignity to his past office as a former vice president and presidential candidate. On the other hand, I think it's plausible that maybe he's just celebrity so much. He's got such he's a tool. He's got such a big head, and he's enjoying his celebrity so much that he's, you know, waiting back and just waiting for a moment to strike.
I think that's the thing too, is he doesn't – I don't think he wants to throw anything in and get slapped in the face, because he's really kind of had this underground surge where he can live out the rest of his life of the popularity of the one movie he made and possibly make 20 sequels to it. It's – if he endorses the wrong candidate and they don't win, it's going to be like a – knock back down the chain
that
a little bit. You
know? Yeah, that could be.
Take him down the food chain a little bit.
And this is the interesting thing about this, though, is when Ted Kennedy endorsed Barack Obama, I made the argument on my blog that I think this is basically Ted Kennedy in a – I don't know if this is like a conscious decision on his part, but it's basically the Kennedys attempting to say – we still want to have an impact on the future of the Democratic Party. We want to be, when people talk about, you know, what happened, what changed within the Democratic Party, we want the Kennedy name to be attached to what happened. You know, basically they want to be the kingmaker.
Yeah.
And they want to say we were there with Barack Obama from the very beginning.
Yep. I think that's entirely plausible.
And what's interesting about Al Gore is it's very well known that Al Gore and the Clintons do not get along with each other anymore. Especially, I think Hillary Clinton even had critical comments about him when he was running for president back in 2000. And Al Gore refused to let Bill Clinton go out there and campaign for him in 2000. He basically just cut the Clintons off completely. Because apparently he was quite embarrassed about what Bill Clinton and the Clintons had done for their 8 years in the presidency. He didn't want to be associated with that in the general election in 2000. So there's been a big division between them there. And what's interesting about what you said, sticking it to the Clintons, I think this is the perfect chance for Al Gore to prove that he is, you know, the leader of the party, technically, so to speak, just in ideological fashion. If Al Gore came in and said, I am endorsing Barack Obama, and this is why, he would have every Democrat in this country, every Democrat pretty much respects him as it is, because we all feel from our perspective, he was right on the war in Iraq, he was against that from the beginning, he was right on the global warming thing from our perspective, he won the election from our perspective in 2000. And so we basically see Al Gore as this figure that's been correct on pretty much everything we believe in. And so when you have somebody with that much weight coming down and saying, you know, I'm not going with Hillary Clinton because the Clintons are damaging our party and they are destroying it for their own, you know, basically power play.
I totally agree.
He could play kingmaker.
I think it would be amazing if like John Edwards and Al Gore both endorsed Obama. I think it would be amazing. It would be like the battle scene from like the Lord of the Rings, where two giant armies are rushing towards each other, and they have this gigantic clash, and then, you know, the good guys win in the end. Amazing.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, and I think every Obama supporter in the world, myself included, is just hoping. To anyone, I'm sure there's thousands of emails going to Al Gore right now saying, come on, just pull the trigger, do what you believe in, endorse Barack Obama before Super Tuesday.
You never know, though, Matt. He could swing Republican. I mean, John McCain's got a lot of the same views as Al Gore does, especially on the global warming issue. He's got a plan for $1.2 trillion for greenhouse emissions to be taken care of in the United States.
Yeah,
alone.
I mean, I don't want to lose the structure of Matt's outline for the program, but I think, you know, if John McCain becomes the nominee, I think the Democrat wins the general. But I mean, I'm getting off track of the outline, probably.
But Al Gore is much more revered amongst Democrats, rank and file Democrats, than he is like John McCain supporters.
Right.
Because a lot of John McCain supporters are Republicans.
If he crossed the lane and supported John McCain, he would bring a lot of the independents and probably some of the disenfranchised Democrats.
Yeah, but that would destroy his image within the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
If Al Gore went with John McCain,
that'll never happen.
That's true. There's a lot of political posturing in that one.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens after tomorrow night's debate. I think you're going to see maybe Friday some endorsements coming that you might not expect. So be looking out for that. Also, I might point out that just for Jeff, just to make Jeff feel pretty good, tomorrow afternoon, Arnold Schwarzenegger is endorsing John McCain.
So, yeah, I saw that on the TV shows today. Forget about it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is another great example. Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he campaigned as a conservative. He won as a conservative. I mean, he was talking about Nixon when he won as governor in California, and now he's become a very moderate to slash liberal Republican, and it's
because
so disappointing.
He's married to a Kennedy.
Exactly. It's so disappointing. These guys elections as conservatives, but then they try to get everybody to like them, or they become frustrated by not getting as much success as they want, and so they go liberal and go moderate, and it's so disappointing. Totally disappointing.
Yeah, but okay, let's. This is the last thing we'll talk about before the Sixth Amendment, and this happens to be about Super Tuesday. Of course, as everybody knows, there's like 22 states, I think.
Alabama, Arizona, California, Colorado, New Jersey, New York, Missouri, where I used to live. I mean, everywhere. Tons of places.
This is like, I think it's they said it's the first time in history this many states are voting on the same day in a, you know, presidential nomination process, either Republican or Democrat. So this is the big shebang. There's already been statistics out that says no candidate can actually win on Super Tuesday, so they're going to have to keep going. And here's my question to you. First, on the Democratic side, who do you think is going to quote-unquote win Super Tuesday, that is, get the most amount of delegates on Super Tuesday? I'll ask that first. Jeff, who do you think will win on the Democratic side, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, more delegates on Super Tuesday?
I think I've been wrong on a lot of my predictions, but, you know, talk is cheap, and I'm just, you know, one podcast run by a total amateur, so I'm going to go with what I really feel, even though I'm probably totally wrong. You know, I'm going to say Obama. I like the youth. I like the energy.
Really?
I'm hoping Obama wins.
Are you hoping, or do you think – who do you think will win? Do you think he will win, or do you just hoping that he's going
to
win?
I think Obama will win. This goes back to me having faith in people being smart, because I think anyone who has any intelligence has to look at Clinton and see that she's a total phony and Obama is a genuine dude, and they favor the same thing. So why not vote for the genuine dude? I think Obama should win if I'm putting my faith in the intellect of the American people.
Okay, DJ, who do you think is going to win on the Democratic side, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, delegate count, not necessarily state count?
I don't know. I'm predicting a wash. I think it's going to be so close that a lot of the delegates gained from some states will cancel out the delegates lost in other states, and so on and so forth.
So basically a tie.
One of them will probably be a little higher than the other, but it's so close right now everywhere that, you know, I think it's probably going to end up going into that crazy thing Matt was talking about earlier with super retards voting.
a brokered convention. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Hillary will get more delegates on Super Tuesday, because I just think she's got such a huge lead in so many of these states that it's just going to be too hard for Barack Obama to make up so much ground in such a short amount of time. The only thing that could change that is if something unexpected happened, like, say, an Al Gore endorsement or something like that. But just, you know, assuming that's not going to happen, I think Hillary comes out on Super Tuesday with more delegates than Obama, but I think it's fairly close. Maybe she's up by about 200, and then it's going to go down to these other states. Nebraska, we vote, and we caucus on February 9th. And all these other states, I think Texas, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all these bigger states come later. And I think it's going to go straight through the convention. But I'm optimistic. I think Obama will do better on Super Tuesday than many people think he will. But I think Hillary, in the end, does come out on top on Super Tuesday, delegate-wise.
It all depends on this debate coming up, too. If she trips up in this debate, that could totally change the tide. And there's still some swing deals going on here too. You know, you don't have John Edwards endorsing anybody yet. And even though that's only 15% is more than enough to take a lead over Hillary.
Well, let's just imagine something for a second here. This could be the greatest week in political history ever for Barack Obama. It starts with a win, a blowout in South Carolina. It then comes with the Kennedys endorsing him. It then comes with John Edwards dropping out, potentially endorsing him, throwing that weight behind him. It then comes with a debate where, you know, if he does well, beats Hillary in the debate decisively and people see him that way. Then it could come with an Al Gore endorsement. Can you imagine if all those dominoes fell like 1 week before Super Tuesday? It would just be insane.
Yeah, it's wild. It's fun to watch. I mean, it's almost like a sporting event.
Yes. Okay, so now let's go to the Republicans. Can John McCain take Super Tuesday and therefore basically destroy Mitt Romney's hopes and dreams of becoming the president for Republicans? Jeff, I'll let you take this. Who do you think is going to win in Super Tuesday, John McCain or Mitt Romney?
God, once again, I'll play the optimist and put my faith in the intellect of the American people and their ability to see through the BS and vote for Mitt Romney, because John McCain is just Democrat light. I mean, I was watching this debate, and I mentioned before we started recording the episode tonight, I mentioned I had to fix myself a drink after watching John McCain in this debate tonight with Mitt Romney. I mean, thankfully, you know, shout-outs to Spooky McPhee, our great audio engineer at deadlantern.com/splattercast, because he gave me this pear-flavored vodka, so I'm drinking that right now. John McCain had this just intolerable grin on his face and just this army look during this debate. He's a douche. He's Democrat light. I hope that the American people can see this and vote for Romney. I put my faith in the American people that Mitt Romney will come out on top on Super Tuesday.
Okay, DJ, who do you think is going to come out on Super Tuesday?
Well, usually I'm the one that would interject a word like douche or tool or retard, but in this case, I'm going to stay away from the name calling and just point to the fact – look at all the advertisements that are coming out from a lot of these concerned hardcore Republicans. There's an ad, and it's on cupfvf.org. Which is the Citizens United Political Victory Fund or something like that, where they've got Hillary Clinton up in front, and they're naming all these things that that are bad about Democrats, and she's slowly panning to the side, and then right behind her, John McCain emerges in one of his regularly awful poses, looking like a crazed old man that eats children.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Smiling. John McCain is Democrat light.
Yeah, and so hopefully – and with the Super Tuesday, there is quite a few states.
Remember about Super Tuesday is, unlike the Democrats, this is winner-take-all in most of these states for the Republicans.
It's important to note that I've been wrong on pretty much – especially on the Republican side, because I've been following my heart like a fool. I've been wrong on pretty much everything, so McCain will probably –
You're such a romantic.
One thing I'd like to say, I've been in Colorado and a couple other these states that will be voting on Super Tuesday, and I've seen quite a few Ron Paul stickers and ads all over the place. I think he might actually end up stealing away from Romney.
Yeah,
and
he will. That's
failing Ron, failing him out,
for
you know.
Romney's vote. That's
Huckabee
a bizarre
well.
Phenomenon.
Well,
yeah,
Huckabee, Huckabee, that guy, he's not even in the race anymore. He's not
legitimately in the race, but he's still able to steal votes.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Running for vice president is what he's doing.
That's the problem is Huckabee takes up a certain chunk of the hardcore Republicans, and Ron Paul takes up another certain chunk of the hardcore Republicans. And what's that doing? It's really just stealing away from Mitt Romney, because those people aren't going to vote for McCain. They don't care for a lot of Mitt Romney's views, but they gotta suck it up and say, okay, wait, am I going to go with the crazy nut liberal that says he's Republican, or am I going to go with the crazy nut Republican that's Republican?
Okay, so did you say McCain or Romney? Who's your prediction for Super Tuesday?
I didn't say, Matt. I didn't say. No, I think, unfortunately, McCain
is damn it.
McCain,
okay. Yeah, I think McCain's going to win this. The only thing that might sway my opinion was I did watch the last half hour of this debate this evening for the Republicans, and McCain looked awful, in my opinion, just absolutely terrible.
Oh, totally. He looked like an asshole.
It looked like Romney was just crushing him.
He always
basically
looked awful.
A liar.
The guy.
And so, I mean, maybe I don't, you know, claim to know exactly what the Republican electorate thinks, but I mean, if I was Republican looking at the debate this evening, I'd be like, oh, Romney's my man. I mean, because John McCain, his answer to everything was, I led a platoon back in the 1960s in the military. That's leadership.
Well, and the insults I was throwing at Kennedy almost sing true for John McCain. The guy's gotten. I mean, he looks so old in some of these that it's almost like his jowl's gonna fall out or something. And then his conversation pieces where he replies to some of this stuff are the same response as though Alzheimer's is set in and he hasn't realized that he said that 20 times.
Well, you know what the funniest thing about John McCain is? Can you imagine for a moment the Republicans are on the verge of nominating for president someone who admitted point blank that he did not understand how the economy worked.
Yep.
And he had to read Alan Greenspan's book to try to figure it out.
That guy's great.
That blows my mind.
I think people just love him because he's a veteran and he was a POW for many years. I mean, people give a lot of respect to that. You know, this is a horrible thing to me to say, but I've been drinking this delicious pear-flavored vodka, so I'll go ahead and say it. I can't wait for a few years down the line when all the Vietnam veterans are out of politics. Because then we won't have to deal with it.
That's why Rambo's in Thailand.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's some truth to that too. You know, I don't mind that war vets run for politics,
but at the same time,
it almost steals away from the actual subject at hand. You know, the actual issues are foreshadowed by this.
They literally put their lives on the line for our country, and I totally respect and honor that. But it's like, you know, whether it's John Kerry or John McCain, it's like just because you did that 50 years ago,
it doesn't mean you're qualified in this day and age.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to throw this out there, wouldn't it be great to see a Barack Obama versus John McCain matchup, just generational wise? That would be amazing.
Yeah,
you have a 72-year-old man who would be 80 when he got out of the office, assuming he goes
if he
all
makes
eight
it that
years
far.
If he's reelected. And you'd have a 46-year-old Barack Obama versus 72-year-old John McCain. That would just be an amazing thing to watch.
That would be wild. Yeah.
Now, the one thing to look at is if John McCain wins and goes all the way to be president, if he picks a good guy for vice president, you know that guy's going to be president after a while. I mean, he's only got a couple more years of life left in him before he croaks.
Okay, so anyway, I think John McCain will end up winning Super Tuesday, unless, of course, I fully acknowledge that Republicans, if I was a Republican, I would have changed my mind immediately just based on what I saw of him tonight.
It was
unbelievably a terrible performance. But what is next on the outline? This is the Sixth Amendment. All right.
And, do we even have time for this?
Yeah, let's just do it real quick because this is pretty cut and dry.
Okay.
Like every week we spotlight an amendment of the Bill of Rights of our Constitution, and this week we're doing the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and it reads as follows: in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Everybody knows what this is. Basically, this is guaranteeing your right to a lawyer, your right to, you know, have to actually see the person who's making the charges against you.
And your right to not have a lawyer, by the way. It also allows you to be a self-representational.
Okay, so right, DJ, right you're, to a trial by jury, so yeah.
Yeah, DJ, you are the criminal on this podcast. What are your thoughts of the Sixth Amendment?
I think it's great.
Of course you do.
I mean, it's one of the best ones out there, right up with freedom of speech and the right to shoot people. I think that this one was so important that when the feds came up with this and put it into the Constitution, that it actually was adopted under the 14th Amendment for states.
I don't know. We're not there yet. You got to wait a few episodes.
Oh, sorry. Well, it ends up rolling into one of your inalienable rights for all state application of law as well. So this one has become so fundamental across the board that it's universal. I love it.
Yeah, I can say this is great. The Sixth Amendment is definitely needed and necessary. We, you know, you don't want to just be thrown up and accused and, you know, convicted without people
when you get screwed like I do all the time by our wonderful police brutality. It's nice to be able to pay a lawyer $500 or $1,000 to have them come in your defense and kick their asses.
Yep, and this is another amendment that O.J. Simpson loves quite a bit.
Yeah. And
But Jeff, what are your thoughts on the Sixth Amendment?
Well, I agree with the sentiments expressed by both you and DJ Matt. I think this is, you know, it's cut and dry. There's not much to debate about this. Everyone can agree about it. You deserve a right to be, you know, if charges are going to be brought against you, you deserve a right to face your accuser. You deserve, you know, to have some representation of your own, and you deserve a right to be tried by a jury of your peers. It makes perfect sense. There's nothing, no really downside or debatable point of this, like, say, the Second Amendment or something like that.
Yeah.
So I agree. You know, a few months ago, I read a novel by Franz Kafka called The Trial, and it's just this nightmare scenario of a guy who's put on trial, and he goes through this huge bureaucracy, and he never knows what the charges are or what he's done to go to be wrong, you know, to be run afoul of the law, and this real nightmare scenario. So I, you know, it's definitely important that we have we're a country of laws, and you have a right to know what you're being charged with and who's charging you. So it's,
and I think it's also important to point out that we recognize that there are flaws in the system that allow, you know, criminal, like lawyers make a habit of getting criminals free and whatnot. But I think the fundamental right that people should be able to have this.
Well, you have to protect,
and we have to.
Yeah, totally, totally.
You have to take the good with the bad. I mean, sometimes, you know, criminals get through, like DJ. He's sitting here today. He gets through the system sometimes, but it's good that he has those rights, because if the good people were in that situation, we'd want to have these rights as well.
The only thing I don't like about this is that it kind of protects people with more money than with less money. It basically gives the person
that's not
with
really
a lot of money
as
to have
as
better
the amendment
representation.
Goes. Well, yeah, the amendment is revenue neutral. I mean, it doesn't matter.
The amendment just says you have a right to counsel.
Every right to counsel is just the quality of the counsel you can afford.
Well, exactly. And if the court appoints your counsel, well, you're getting the low rung of the guys that pass the bar, you know? I mean,
public
just like a doctor that gets a DPs. He's still a doctor. Doesn't mean you want him doing brain surgery on you.
Yeah, but regardless, that has nothing to do with the amendment itself.
Right, the amendment itself is good.
And that rolls into the guy that just got off here in Colorado. I mean, he had a public offender. You notice I said offender. The idiot didn't do anything. Didn't even file for right for discovery to find out what the prosecution had against the guy. And the guy was railroaded off. If he'd had a little bit of money, he could have paid for something at least decent, and he would have realized that was retarded.
DJ, we all understand that there are flaws in the system, and it's not fair to everybody, but the point of the matter is everybody does get this, unless you're in Guantanamo.
Right.
Everybody does get, you know, representation, even if it's just a public defender, you should still have that right.
Public defender.
And those are good things.
Yeah, I'm saying is, you know, instead of right to health care and everything, they ought to have right to awesome lawyers. You know, they ought to have like
Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, exactly. So then everybody has a super awesome chance at getting off, even if you killed like 40 people. I mean, it sucks, but that's
okay. But yeah, the Sixth Amendment overall, we think it's great. It's a good thing to have. Yay, Founding Fathers! You did a good job writing that one.
Awesome.
And that is the end of the Dead Politics podcast. I just noticed here on our Podomatic page that we got a comment from a Girl 600. That was her screen name. It says, "I searched Clinton and found your podcast," and that's all she says.
Huh. Well, I hope she listened.
Realized.
Yeah, thank you, Girl 600, for that. next Wednesday, we will be back, and we will be talking about, you know, what happened on Super Tuesday, because that's going to be a great day for political junkies, just to watch and see what happens. Hopefully, Barack Obama can just bitch slap Hillary Clinton around and knock her down. And you guys have anything to say before we leave?
No, I think it's exciting times. Definitely hit up Podomatic or deadpolitics.podomatic.com and or Podomat or I've been drinking the vodka, you guys. deadpolitics.deadlantern.com. Either one of those, you can get the MP3s of the podcast, or you can subscribe in iTunes if that's the way you prefer to get it. The kids love the iTunes.
Yeah, and you can contact us at deadpolitics@podomatic.com or call us at 206-339-7430. And thank you for listening. We will be back next Wednesday with lots of discussion about Super Tuesday.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot. Dead Politics. Dead Politics.